The words of God given to us today is Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing, so on the seventh day he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. Amen. Do you have an idea of how many cups of coffee an average Korean drinks per year? It is a whopping 416 cups of coffee per person as of 2024, ranking first in all of Asia-Pacific region. Considering that the average consumption rate among the Asia-Pacific countries is 57 cups, Koreans on average drink about 7 times more. The increase in coffee consumption in Korea may be due to the rise of avid coffee fans, but also indicates that there is a high level of fatigue among office workers. In addition, due to the high penetration rate of smartphones and OTT services, many people watch video content and media content late into the night to relieve the stress that they got during the day, which results in lack of sleep and a disruption of the circadian rhythm, leading to sleep disorders. This lack of sleep leads to hormonal imbalances, which in turn leads to overeating or binge eating, and those who eat late-night meals suffer from yet another round of sleep disorder, which leads to a vicious cycle. In addition, all the delivery and processed food that we eat often contain a lot of salt, sugar, and trans fat, which causes a lot of inflammation in our bodies. And due to this, one again experiences chronic fatigue, and the number of people who drink coffee like it's the Holy Grail increases. Accordingly, they're always tired and fatigued, even though they are not seriously ill. And we often find ourselves in this state. What about the mental state that people living in the modern day are in? In the past, we lived with our own mundane and trivial worries and concerns. But in a world where the pace of change is so fast, and when we are bombarded with the news of various events happening all over the world among a flood of information, we worry that the various decisions that we make on a daily basis will be affected as a result of such events. In addition, the stress of learning new things and striving for self-development increases in a world that is developing rapidly with AI and advanced technology, and we constantly worry that we will be left behind or marginalized. We can see that a lot of senior citizens are also stressed out because they don't know how to use a kiosk. In addition, our minds are always burdened with a sense of isolation with the increase in single-person households, competition in the workplace, rising consumer prices and economic difficulties, as well as long-term concerns about environmental pollution. Then, what about their spiritual state? It is said that the number of shamans in Korea, which was 200,000 in the early 2000s, has increased by nearly 4 times to 800,000 in 2023. This indicates that many are seeking out shamans who provide immediate answers and prescriptions, even if they are a stopgap measure in the midst of all their uncertainty. And their spiritual state remains superficial. As can be seen, those living in the modern days are restless in their body, mind, and soul, suffering from anxiety, worry, concern, chronic fatigue, and a superficial level of spirituality. Dejected, they try various things in hopes of finding true rest, but they end up feeling even more thirsty and tired, like drinking seawater in the middle of the ocean when parched. But what about us Christians? Is it any different for us? It is often not. Because as those whose flesh belong to this time and era, we're also not free from such burdens. So we must ask ourselves then, what is true rest and where and how can we enjoy this true rest? Let us take a look at today's scripture, Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 to 2. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing, so on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Today's scripture talks about God's rest. God's rest and the concept of it is a bit different from the concept of our rest. Did God rest because he was tired after creating the heavens and the earth? No, that is not the case. God is omnipotent and does not need rest. So then why did God rest on the seventh day? First, he rested because the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. God's work of creation was completed, and even the creation of men was completed, so there was nothing more that God had to do. Now, the task of caring for, cultivating, and nurturing the creations that God had made was left to the hands of the humans who were created in God's image. Second, he rested to show us a model example of how to rest. Just as Jesus led by example to show how to live by faith, God had showed us how to keep the Sabbath, even though he himself did not need to rest, so that we can follow in his path. This is why he chose a day to rest and granted blessings on that day. Let us take a look at verse 3 of today's scripture. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. The Hebrew word for the expression holy is kadash, which means to consecrate. It means to set apart and choose as God's own. This means that the seventh day has been set apart and consecrated. In his book, The Sabbath, a Jewish theologian, Abraham Heschel, calls the Sabbath the most holy place of time. In the Old Testament, while God is omnipresent and dwells everywhere in the universe, the exact place where God came down to meet us humans, forgave their sins, and engaged in fellowship with them was called the holy place, or more specifically, the most holy place. Upon remembering this, we can extrapolate that while God is with us every hour of the day, the specific day that he meets us, engages in fellowship with us, blesses us, and bestows grace on us is the day of the Sabbath, the most holy place of time. The only thing and the first thing that was consecrated in the book of Genesis was time itself. It was only at a later time that the humans and places were separately consecrated. That is why the day of the Sabbath is so important. We also remember that the Ten Commandments include the words, "Keep the Sabbath holy." This means to set apart the Sabbath as a holy time, and what God commanded us and hoped for us was to set apart a designated time. Then, why did God set apart the seventh day specifically? The Hebrew word for rest is Shabbat, which means to stop, to cease, or to rest. God wanted humans to freely enjoy, care for, and develop it and develop the nature in a creative manner and to beautify the nature that he had created. And amidst it all, he allowed humans to discover the craftsmanship, power, and the beauty of the Creator God, and for us to praise his greatness and beauty. However, humans are in constant danger of becoming addicted to the things that God has given us, failing to focus on God. In other words, we are in danger of losing our focus on God and serving him as our purpose, rather being obsessed with owning, cultivating, and enjoying the land that has been granted by God. Eventually, humans will become slaves to nature rather than enjoying them. What this means for those living the modern days means becoming slaves to the worldly possessions. As we focus on accumulating wealth that we cannot even enjoy or use for the rest of our lives, we do not even realize that the sand in the hourglass, which is the time given to us in life, is running out. Therefore, God thought it very necessary to put a pause in our lives as we lived our lives in the land. Therefore, true rest begins with us pausing. True rest begins when students pause studying, office workers pause working, and housewives pause their household chores. Without this break or pause, we sometimes end up abusing ourselves, our children, or yet others. And the purpose of such abuse is none other than the temptation to become greater beings. What was the purpose of mankind when they built the Tower of Babel in Genesis chapter 11? They said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens, so that we may make a name for ourselves, otherwise we will be scattered over the face of the whole earth." In other words, they failed to trust the rainbow covenant, which was that God would not destroy mankind with a flood, and their fundamental purpose in building the tower was to climb up to that high tower to avoid death if another round of judgment came from God, and also to make a name for themselves. In other words, they built the tower for the sake of their own survival and greatness, and this arose out of disbelief and disobedience against God, not for the sake of God's covenant, care, or God's glory. Then, what about us? What does this say about us? Why can't we come to the place of worship? Why can't we rest? Let us truly ask ourselves, isn't it perhaps because we are fearful that we have to work, study, and continue to work on ourselves in order to survive in this world? Or maybe we can survive, but we want to make a greater name for myself, my family, and my company, or my business? Aren't we perhaps too absorbed in that mission? And in order to keep ourselves in check, amidst such noise and the ceaseless message of the world that tells us to never stop for survival and prosperity, the only way to truly show who our Master is to respond to the invitation of God to rest. Luke chapter 6, verse 5 reads, "Then Jesus said to them, 'The Son of Man is the Lord of the Sabbath.' Indeed, God, who granted us the time in this world, is telling us to remember the Sabbath, to consecrate it, and to keep it. God governs all time, but He specifically commands us to remember to keep the Sabbath, the day of God in particular. In order to keep the Sabbath and put a pause to our endeavors, one needs to prepare for it. What do you typically do before going on vacation at work? You coordinate and complete the tasks in advance, finish your project, prepare for what might happen, and then go on vacation. Such is how you prepare before hitting the pause button. Likewise, in order to worship God and have fellowship with a fellow congregation, preparation is necessary. Those who work 5 days a week should focus on their work for the first 5 days, but spend the Saturdays serving their families and themselves, and at the same time they need to clean, organize, and complete other tasks in advance so that their family members can come to church with a prepared heart. Students should finish their homework and prepare for exams in advance. Housewives should buy their groceries and cooking ingredients in advance, and office workers and the self-employed should also handle their work in advance. Just as you would press on the brakes gently to stop your car upon seeing a stop sign instead of suddenly hitting the brakes, one needs to prepare in advance before taking that pause before God. And such training to prepare ourselves for the pause is highly beneficial to our lives in general. This is because we live in an era where pausing, or discipline and self-control, is necessary. The world continues to invent food and media content that is increasingly more stimulating to encourage our continuous consumption and spending. To that end, one uses aggressive marketing strategies using multiple algorithms, recommendations, and advertisement to keep people engaged, which is why we find ourselves wasting our time watching media content, shorts, and video clips and splurging on shopping way beyond one's measure. However, those who succeed in pausing to set apart time for God knows how to appropriately spend the subsequent time, just as you would seamlessly button up a shirt after successfully fastening the first button. They would proceed to properly spend the rest of the 6 days post the pause and protect themselves through such pause and discipline in other areas of their lives. So how should we keep the Sabbath after the pause? The Sabbath begins with a pause and is completed with love. The Sabbath in the Old Testament was from Friday night to Saturday night. So why do the modern churches keep Sunday as the Sabbath? The Jews had recognized the Sabbath only as a day of pausing. They believed that once they kept the laws prohibiting various types of labor for the purpose of keeping the Sabbath, then they would have wholly and fully kept the Sabbath. This was their misconception. However, when Jesus came to the earth, he declared that he was the Lord of the Sabbath and healed the sick on the Sabbath, and even said that it was okay for the disciples to eat wheat when they were hungry. By the same token, the Sabbath is not simply a day to put a pause to all endeavors, but rather a day to practice love. When a lawyer asked Jesus which commandment was the greatest, Jesus answered in Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 to 40. In the following, Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Likewise, the Sabbath also lies and should lie within the boundaries of this commandment. In other words, the Sabbath is a day to diligently love God. It is a day to remember God's time and offer ourselves as a living sacrifice to God our Lord and praise and serve God. This is the love that we offer our God the Creator. And secondly, it is a day to practice love for our neighbors. A lot of our church members serve various ministries on Sundays, not only for themselves, and only for their worship, but also for the community and for their neighbors. This is because the laboring hands are not for their own benefit and profit, but to serve the neighbors and the community. We should not forget this. And practicing this pause itself becomes a practice of love. Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 to 11 reads, "Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them. But he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy." So we can see that our pause provides rest to someone. In particular, God commanded the servants and livestock to participate in God's rest so that even the weak and marginalized who are not in a place to enjoy rest can experience God's rest. Essentially, keeping the Sabbath is in itself practicing God's love and mercy towards the weak and the marginalized. The concept of the Sabbath is expanded to one taking a sabbatical every 7 years and the Jubilee system after working for 50 years. And these benefits also arise from the same concept. It is the love of God who cares not only for the livestock but also for the rest of this land, and the spirit of proclaiming freedom for the marginalized to redeem us so that we are no longer bound by eternal oppression and shackles. And that is the spirit of the Sabbath. Therefore, we have to commemorate this day of resurrection and the Lord's covenant who has renewed the spirit of the Sabbath, and accordingly keep the Sabbath in such a spirit. And the church should set apart this day as the Lord's day to keep the Sabbath. So what happens when we keep this holy day given by God? we experience recovery and restoration through rest. By putting a pause to our work, our bodies are able to rest and experience restoration. Also, through worship, we lay down our heavy burdens to God, who is our shepherd. We lay down our worries, concerns, and troubles of the world to God through prayer. And when we leave our troubles before God, God fulfills and restores us. We lay down the hatred, loathing, hurt, and pain that prevented us from finding rest in relationships with God, and are in turn filled with God's love. We let go of the stress coming from survival and competition, and we remember that God, the ruler of the universe, is our Father, and we once again find rest in God's power and authority. And this results in the restoration of our hearts. Also, when we come before God every Sunday and confess our weaknesses and sins, we receive cleansing and forgiveness through the blood of Christ and restore our relationship with God in an intimate manner. And only then we can enjoy the true rest of our soul. And in this way, we can enjoy our bodies, mind, and soul truly being rested by keeping the Sabbath and engaging in fellowship with God. And with that strength, we can set our foot in the world again as God's people. However, this is not the rest in its complete sense. It is like going to an ice cream shop and getting a taste of a large ice cream pint, which I will eat later, with only a small tasting spoon. God has prepared eternal rest for us, not only the rest that we experience on Sundays. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 8 to 11 reads, "For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken later about another day. There remains, then, a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from their works, just as God did from his. Let us, therefore, make every effort to enter the rest, so that no one will perish by following their example of disobedience." By resting every week, we come to envision and hope for eternal rest. In the kingdom of Jesus to come, there will be no more competition, strife, conflict, pride, greed, or the pain, sickness, sin, or death which disturbs our rest. And therefore, in the kingdom of Jesus, we will be able to enjoy eternal rest. Let us reflect back on how our past week was. Some of you may be attending online services or watching online services at workplaces because you cannot afford to put a pause on the works due to so much workload and stress. Some of you may have come to the worship service but are unable to focus on the service and maybe perhaps falling asleep due to fatigue because you had to take care of your family and work for the past week. Some of you may be watching online services from the hospital or from home due to illnesses and because one cannot attend the service in person. Some of you may yet to come to the place of worship for fear of facing tomorrow and have chosen to simply avoid it. And some of you may lose sleep because of your worries. Indeed, it seems that our lives feel like a continuation of suffering. Even if we endure and persevere through today, we do not know what will happen tomorrow. We believe that rest will come finally when we go to college, get a job, get married, get promoted, land a job, help our children become independent, and retire. But we all know that that is not the case. even if we experience a brief respite on Sunday, our lives will again be filled with work, responsibilities, physical fatigue, pain, worries, and concerns in the next week. Nevertheless, let us not forget that we have already received an invitation to eternal rest by God. Even though our lives may seem very difficult now, the final foundation of our lives lies in the eternal rest that God has prepared for us. Therefore, let us not be discouraged, but look towards that which God has taken hold of us and move forward in faith next week as well. This is the words of Romans chapter 8, verse 18. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. Amen. Let us pray. Dear Father God, we have been so busy this past week. Out of breath, we look around and find that no one is around us. And upon looking back, we do not even know why we have been running so hard. Did we want to run faster than others? Who told us that we had to run so fast? We do not even know what is waiting for us at the end of this road, so we just ran diligently and silently. As we run, panting and dragging along our tired bodies, the Lord is now telling us to stop and to take a pause for a moment. You have called us to look into your eyes for a moment and talk and engage in fellowship. And then you told us again why we had to run, to where we have to run to, and what is at the end of this road. And realizing this, let us now come to the place of worship every Sunday so that we are granted with a faith to show the world who our Lord is and to keep the true spirit of the Sabbath that Jesus showed us by loving God and our neighbors. Even though the road that we will be running again next week will be a rocky road and leave us breathless, let us still run to take hold of that which God took hold of us and hope for the day when we will be invited to the eternal rest granted by God. We all pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.